Well, guys, I told you last week, enjoy this moment. I said this. While you're listening to the podcast, enjoy this moment before practice had kicked off, before quali had kicked off, and more importantly, before the race had kicked off. I said, just enjoy it, because this is the only time in the whole season that you're going to get to truly believe, with a fair amount of reason, that your team, your driver, can win the championship. Well, I'm sorry to say, all those dreams have been crushed. After Max Verstappen had a resounding win at the opening Grand Prix of the 2024 season in Bahrain.
It was close.
Yeah. It was close to him lapping everyone.
It was close if you take Max Verstappen out of it and you start from P2.
Even then, to be honest, it wasn't close. Perez pulled more of a gap than I ever anticipated.
Yeah, true.
So welcome back to Racecast. This is not a depressive episode. We are going to... There's a lot going on in the F1 world, right? The way I'm looking at it is... We've gone from a transition from a beautifully written literature piece, right, to now OK Magazine or Hello Magazine, where all we can report on is gossip. Because that is pretty much single-handedly propping the F1 world up at the moment. Because the racing certainly isn't doing that. We will touch on Bahrain. But rather than absolutely boring your socks off, telling you how Max Verstappen... What did he win by? I mean, excluding Perez, was it like 45 seconds or something?
20 seconds.
Was it?
Yeah.
I thought Perez was 15 seconds clear. Of Sainz.
I'm pretty sure it was like 20 seconds.
It was...
Because
it was pretty uneventful, honestly, in what we'll call the best of the rest pack, which is Mercedes, McLaren, Aston Martin, Ferrari. Ferrari looking the best of that group. Mercedes had... cooling issues, so they were lifting and coasting. Aston Martin seemed to be the slowest. It was pretty uneventful there. The back of the pack, the best we had was a bit of drama between teammates in the form of Yuki Tsunoda and Daniel Ricciardo. But we will touch on everything. We're obviously going to talk about the hot topic of the week, Red Bull, and what seems like a team implosion. God knows what is going on there. But make sure you give us a 5-star rating, because you are listening to us somewhere. We know that because we only put it out on audio platforms. So you have
22 seconds.
Ahead of who?
Perez.
Yeah. And Perez was?
25 seconds ahead of Carlos.
So Perez was 25 seconds ahead of Carlos.
Yep.
And Max was 22 seconds ahead of?
Perez.
Yeah. Make sure you give us 5 stars, because what I don't want is for that rating to reflect the racing rating. Right, racing right now gets a 1-star. Racecast gets a 5-star. So if you are listening to us on Spotify or Apple Podcasts or any other platform, like, I don't know, Amazon, Google, do give us 5 stars if that is possible. It really does mean a lot and it helps the podcast out massively. Make sure you follow us on TikTok, Instagram and Twitter. Just search Racecast. You shall find us. We've got, if you didn't know, well, you probably do because you're listening to the podcast. Although, if it's on Apple Podcasts, our stuff hasn't updated. Mm. I don't know why. I've tried to sort this. I've refreshed the RSS feed. I cannot get it to update. But basically, we've now got a nice, new, fresh, clean-looking logo. Purple logo, race cars with some nice tracks imprinted in the background. So, yeah, you'll find us on social media just by locating that image. And do follow us, because we do post a lot on there. Mm. Matt posts a lot on there. But, like, we do... we do get involved, and then we do react to things throughout the week when we post videos that like gain a bit of traction. Normally in a bad way. It's normally someone calling us dumb, Drive to Survive fans. I don't even know how that's become an insult. How does it matter, right?
This is your longest ever intro.
I know it is. How does it matter how you become a fan of something, right? And I'll be honest, that's not how I became a fan of F1. No. Like, I used to be more into F1, and then it was one of the first sports back after COVID, and that's what got me, like, re-back into it. But, like, now I'm, like, more into it than I ever have been in my life. It's something I would always follow. But if you are a driver, if you're a fan of F1 because you watch Drive to Survive, don't let these freaks shame you for it.
And that's doing exactly what it's meant to do, getting you into the sport.
Yeah, why the hell does it matter how someone became a fan of something? Like, I'm sure there are Drive to Survive fans that are better and bigger fans than some people that have been fans of the sport for 20 years. Just because you've watched it for longer, that doesn't mean you're like a better fan to the sport.
Doesn't mean you're a diehard fan compared to someone.
Or you're more entitled to the sport than the next person. Stop being a dickhead. Get off your high horse. It doesn't matter how you've become a fan of the sport. If you're a fan of the sport, welcome along. It's not great at the moment, but I promise you, there are better times ahead, hopefully, and there has been better times. Anyway, rant over. We're going to crack on now.
You literally spoke for 6 minutes. That is by far your longest ever intro.
Yeah, that's a rant. That's a monologue.
That is.
If you're still here, well done.
Yeah. Well, just to before we get into that stuff, I want to start off with talking about F1 fantasy.
Oh my god, I haven't even looked at this.
Yeah. Well,
let me pull it up. Nor, I feel like I've
no, nor weekend. I've got it here. So if you don't know, we have a Racecast F1 Fantasy, so you can check us out. It should be in our link.
What you need to do if you're listening to us right now on wherever if you're listening to us, I should have just stopped the sentence there.
Yeah,
if you're listening to us right now, go to our social media pages, either TikTok, Instagram or Twitter, and we'll make sure it's in the bio somewhere, so it's easy for you to access, or it'll be like a pinned.
There is also a video which I did with the code on, which you can also
use. We'll pin that.
Yeah.
So either way, you'll be able to find it there. And if not, just DM us and we'll send you the link.
So currently, there are 38 people in our league. We would obviously like more. Get involved. I am currently 26th. I got 142 points. Wasn't the greatest. There is someone, if your name is Olivia Maynard, her team name is Mercedes. Like it.
Oh, nice. Yeah. Like Slade.
255 points.
Who does she have?
So she has...
Is she top?
She's top.
Okay, so go through her team, but then I want to hear P2, P3.
So Max Verstappen got a staggering 135 points.
But you didn't have him.
No. Well, my second team has now, because I created a second team. You can also create up to three teams, just so you know. Alex Albon got 0 points. Danny Rick got 5 points. Lance Stroll, she actually double pointed Lance Stroll. He got 16 points. And Pierre Gasly got 6. Where she got her main points were Max Verstappen 135 points and Red Bull Racing 89 points.
Yeah, I think that's pretty much probably... I don't know how you use... Oh, leagues.
So in P2 was Joanne... I can't say your last... Gattachi, 230 points, and then John Siller, I like this name, Take a Stroll.
Oh yeah, nice.
That's good. So I'm down in P26, so that got me looking. Where is young Lucas? Well, Luke, would you like me to tell you where you are?
Well, I think I'm 10th.
You are 10th.
Yeah, yeah. But I don't know how you look at the league.
So
what do I do?
Hang on. Hang on, let me borrow that a second.
One thing I'm not going to let slide is... Sorry, where are you?
26th.
And where am I?
P10.
Yeah, knowledge. That's what I have. And that's why you need to listen to any single piece of advice that I do give you for F1 Fantasy on this podcast, right? Because what I'm not going to do is let myself lose to Matt Jackson. Okay? So if you want to win, or at least if you want to beat Matt, just do what I do. Because I will make sure that happens. Do you know how to get to the league?
Yeah, I can on my one, but I can't on publicly.
I bet you've banned me, haven't you?
I would have done, yeah. If it meant that I can go on.
I can't even remember who's on my team.
Oh, got it. There you go.
All right, quality. So, yeah, obviously we had Mercedes, Olivia Maynard, 255 points.
That mental.
That is damn impressive. And yeah, then 230, 222. It there's only 6 people on over 200 points, right? That's from P6 upwards.
Yep.
I am joint 10th on 187, which I'm going to take that.
Yeah, it's right. Not a bad start. Not a bad start.
When you bear in mind, there are people joint in fourth.
Yeah.
Joint in seventh. That technically makes me like eighth.
Yeah.
Like, if you think about it. Who is in your team? Did you say that?
In my team. So, I have Lewis Hamilton. Yep. Got me 24 points.
Did you double him?
I did.
I 2x'd on Max Verstappen.
So, what did you get for that?
90 points.
Decent. I only got 24. Charles Leclerc, 22 points. Piastri, 10 points. Albon, I don't understand how he got no points.
Yeah. How does the point system work?
I don't know.
We should Google this.
Pierre Gasly got 6. Ferrari got what? Me. Pierre Gasly got 6 points. Which.
Wait. So Alex Albon gets no points.
Yeah.
Pierre Gasly finishes what? 19th?
Okay, so.
Oh no, Bottas did.
Race position. So weekend overall. Race position 15th. Qualifying position 13th. Race position lost minus 2. So how does he get no points, man?
But Pierre Gasly does. Is it based on positions gained then? Because he gained...
Position lost. So he had 2 points and then he lost 2 points because he lost 2 points. That makes no sense,
That
man.
Is ridiculous.
Yeah.
Can I make a transfer?
Yeah, you can change it for this weekend.
How?
You go into your team.
Oh, mate.
So
oh, one
up,
thing
up
I will
the top,
say...
Up the top, it says my team. So you click on my team.
If you are using this app, it is fucking confusing as hell. It's not like FPL, which is really easy.
It's quite tricky.
Oh, yeah, manage team.
Yeah.
All right, so I'm a little bit unconfident. Oh, my God, they change in value as well. So now if I get rid of RB to add... Ooh.
So the deadline is only 2 days away. Surprise, surprise.
Oh, I don't think it's worth... I'm a bit confused by this. I'm not going to make any changes right now. I'm not going to make them live on air. But do get involved because it is clearly pretty ridiculous and it's kind of funny.
Yeah, it'd be interesting to see. Right, so shall we get into talking about the news? Because Luke and I watched a race together on Saturday and I came round and I said before the race started... Let's get ready for it. I guarantee Max Verstappen will win this. It'll be a ball fest. Luke shouts out going, oh, don't bring the negativity in already. Was I right?
You were right. But the idea is going back to what I said, is we had one moment in the season where we could truly be positive, and that was then. And
it
you
was.
You were trying to drag it down.
Well, I just... Well, he'd already... I was positive up until qualifying. Actually, no. I was positive in practice. I thought, okay, we've got some different teams here.
No, but
Ferrari.
You came in on qualifying. You're like, oh, fucking Merck, they're shit again. Yeah. George Russell, P3.
Yeah, no.
Lewis had a terrible quali. Hang we on. Have to firm that.
Yeah, granted. Let me clarify that, okay? So I ended up catching the end of it when I was just finishing work. So when I went on, I saw Lewis Hamilton come round the back straight and cross the line, and all I saw was P9. So in my mind, I was like, same shit. I didn't see George's results. I literally just saw Hamilton's. So I was thinking to myself, God, it's literally the same as last year.
And you know what? I'll tell you what. I'm a big Lewis Hamilton fan, but this is the problem with them. They can never admit when Lewis has had a bad session. Always blame the car.
Granted, I only went by literally what I saw. And that's why I put in the
group. And instantly, your thought was, oh, the car's shit. Not Lewis has had a shit Saturday like he did last year.
Okay.
You see, Colt.
Was this Merck on the front row? Yes or no?
Well, it was on the second row.
Okay, was the was
Lewis
the, was,
Lewis and Lewis was, and George should have locked out second row.
Was the Mercks on the front row?
I don't understand the point of that question.
Just go with me. Was the Mercks on the front row?
No.
Okay, so the Mercks are still as shit as they were because they haven't been good enough to be on the front row like they used to be. So they're still not as good as they were.
Okay, all right, but anyone.
With a brain about F1, yes and no, that actually it's a progress, all this stuff. I completely get that.
Anyone with a brain knows that they were not going to be competing with Red Bull this season. No one was going to be competing with Red Bull this season.
So the Mercs are still not as good. That's what I'm trying to get at. The Mercs are still crap, realistically, because they're not challenging for a title.
Yeah, but on that basis, every car is crap. So is Ferrari a crap car?
Yeah. Because Ferrari should be challenging for a title.
Yeah, but I think it's more that the Red Bull.
If you told me, oh, is Williams crap? And I'd be like, well, yeah, they've been crap for years, so it's expected.
Yeah, but the Red Bull is so much better. How you can't just expect, just because Lewis wasn't on the second row or the front row, it doesn't instantly mean, oh, it's the car's fault. Lewis had a bad quali.
Okay, do you want to go into the race? So he had a broken seat. It was slow. We're not... Well,
no, okay, so...
It wasn't slow. George had good pace. Lewis had a whole setup for his race, and he took what? When was his first overtake? Lap 16? No,
so they had to, essentially...
Lift and coast.
Yeah, Mercedes, for whatever reason, they ran a... Don't quote me here, right? I'm not a fucking technical guy. But this is roughly along the lines of what I read. They had a different cooling system on their engine covers, basically, for literally every session. I think they ran them in FP2, then took them off for like when we went into Parc Fermé conditions, because they give you more speed. George Russell, in his post-race interview, said, realistically, like if we had the cooling vents on there, we would have lost, or was it a quarter of a tenth?
Yeah. It sounded very small, but...
They then ended up losing essentially half a second a lap due to having to lift and coast because the engine was overheating at a historically cold Bahrain Grand Prix. So they've got some... I'm not saying there's no issues at Mercedes, because there was that. Why would you change that when the car was performing so well in the earlier sessions for the sake of a quarter of a tenth? You know, it backfired, and that was that. But I don't think Bahrain was truly representative of what Mercedes' pace is. I genuinely believe they'll be contesting with the Ferrari next weekend. This weekend.
Yeah, I'm with you on that one.
But no one's competing with the Red Bull.
No, but this is my point. We're no better off. we're no different. And the worrying signs are is actually, come when is it? Japan? They've got upgrades come in, Red Bull.
Japan or Imola?
Yeah, one or the other. They've got upgrades coming. Already, this car is pulling a 20-second gap from the other Red Bull car.
Do you know what I genuinely think? I don't think this is like groundbreaking analysis. Like this, based on what I'm seeing online, the reason this Red Bull is such an anomaly and why it's so unbelievable is because it doesn't suffer from tyre degradation.
No.
So, and that's why you see in quali, yeah, it's closer because... I think in terms of one lap, the teams are getting closer to Red Bull. But however that Red Bull car is designed, it is protecting the tyres unbelievably.
Well, it showed. Sergio
Perez and Max Verstappen were on soft tyres at Bahrain. And Sergio Perez, Max's laps, by the way, were consistent.
Yeah.
From the moment he went on that tyre to the final lap of the race, he was setting consistent times.
They were like 135s, weren't they? Just for
it was just bang, 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 135, 135, just consistent. Perez was lapping at the same speed, at a faster speed than Carlos Sainz, who was on the longer lasting hard tire. So that's, people can look at the Red Bull and say, oh, it's a rocket ship. I actually, at this point in time, do not believe it's a rocket ship. I don't believe it's necessarily quicker than the Ferrari.
What?
I don't believe it's quicker than the Ferrari.
You don't think that Red Bull's quicker than the Ferrari?
Not particularly.
What planet are you living on? That Red Bull is ridiculous.
I don't believe that Red Bull is much quicker than the Ferrari, much quicker than the Mercedes. I think they're all round about the same. The biggest thing about that Red Bull is that it can do lap after lap after lap at the same speed because the tyres are not degrading like that of the other cars.
Yeah.
That's what I believe. And that's exactly why you look at qualifying and Max Verstappen is not... He didn't dominate that qualifying session. If Charles Leclerc had set his...
Q2
time in Q3, he would have been on pole. Mm. So over one lap, the Ferrari is quick. So that is obviously... In terms of, like, the Red Bull is not a rocket ship. It's not this car that is just magically quicker than every other car and it can take corners quicker than every other car. Don't get me wrong. I think it is the fastest car on the grid, but I think it's very close. And I think track to track, that will change.
Yeah.
But I think what we're going to see is that Red Bull can pump in that lap time on a fresh tyre and it can also do the same lap time 15, 20 laps later. That's where they're making their time up, not the fact that they're quicker than anyone else.
So answer me this. Okay, say you got to, and I'm not trying to be negative, okay? I, as an F1 fan, want closer racing. I do. And it gets really annoying hearing, you know, oh yeah, but look at the battle for, you know, P2. I don't care. Well, okay, I like fighting for the podium, but I don't care if we're fighting for a second in the championship. I want a championship battle. You know, that's what I want
to
see.
Well, it'd be nice to see at least. You think the most exciting race of last season?
Singapore. That was it.
Without a doubt.
I just want to see. Actually, okay, when I say a championship battle, I would even take this year different winners.
Yeah.
And granted, it could happen. We're only race one. It's still very early, granted.
I've even said this before in the podcast. I actually. From an F1 fan perspective, I couldn't care less if Max Verstappen won every single race, if he was challenged every single race.
Yeah.
If there was, it was like, oh, will Max win it? Will Leclerc win it? Or will Lewis win it? Oh no, Max has won it. But there was like a battle throughout the whole race and it was like, fuck. And then, you know, Max just edges it every time for whatever reason. Because then we're still getting the excitement in the race. That's what I'm missing. It's the race winner. Okay, like, obviously, I'd rather it just be Lewis every race. Mm. But it's actually missing the excitement of watching a battle for P1 in the race.
Yeah.
That we got a little bit of in 2022. We started the 2022 season gassed because we're like, fuck, okay, all right, Mercedes is shit and that's peak for us as Mercedes fans.
But you had Ferrari.
Actually, yeah, we've got Leclerc and Max going for a battle here. I'll take it. It's better than just one team.
But then I think what that showed in that season was Ferrari were at edge of the game, and then all of a sudden Red Bull clicked very quickly into kind of, because they had a lot of reliability issues, Red Bull, at the start of the season, and all of a sudden they switched it around very quick. So I don't know. You know, it may turn around and we might be very surprised, but from what I'm seeing already is it could potentially be a very long season for us. And this whole thing of, oh yeah, but look, we've got closer battles between Mercedes, you know, McLaren, Ferrari. Fantastic. Absolutely brilliant.
Have we though?
Well, no, this is what you read. This is what people say. Oh, but actually, because we're no different from last year.
No one overtook anyone.
No, the only ones who got overtaken, I think, were Alonso.
Yeah, but like, you know, yeah, within that field, yeah, there was no like, okay, Alonso got overtaken, what, because he was on old tyres, wasn't he?
Yeah, and it was slower.
George's, the Mercs were obviously having to lift and coast, so the Ferraris got George. The best battle was Sainz overtaking Leclerc, but Leclerc did have an issue with his brakes that meant he locked up literally every single
corner. Sainz looks on it this year.
He does look on it, but I think that's probably a harsh race to judge.
Yeah,
because was something wrong with his car.
Yeah, he looked more aggressive this weekend.
We picked up on it like before even anything was said. We were like, what the hell is wrong with him? Why is he locking up in every single corner? It's embarrassing.
Yeah.
And then they were like, oh yeah, there's an issue with this car. And then
it's like day one of driving. The
overtake Lewis on Piastri was only because Merck had undercut him.
Yeah.
Like, otherwise we would have never got that overtake. But
that's what I mean. That Merck, one of the biggest things, and what we laughed is obviously DRS is opened after lap one now.
Yeah.
And then we were like, oh, this is really good. And then all of a sudden we looked at each other and went, does this mean we're just going to have loads of DRS trains?
And that is exactly what we had. And it's like, it kind of, I get it. And I was actually quite excited for it. And then I think we saw it in practice and it was like, oh yeah. Like, now all it means is that no one's going to be able to overtake.
Because, no, just a DRS. It's yeah, going to be a massive
everyone's
DRS
just going
train.
To be quick. So I don't really know what they need to do about that. Yeah, I mean, I'm not just going to constantly complain about the sport, but I think that is a great idea in thought. Like, the idea of it is great.
Yeah.
But I actually think in execution it wasn't... it actually didn't improve it. Mm.
Yeah, I mean, just wrapping up on the Bahrain Grand Prix, look, it's great to have it back. I was really buzzing to have it back, and obviously I'm looking forward to Saudi this weekend. It's one of my favorite tracks. I think it just looks cool, and actually the actual track is brilliant. So let's hope we have a bit of a battle this weekend. Am I hopeful? I don't think so. Just to recap, obviously, our predictions, because I predicted that it'd be Max, Lewis, Carlos, 2 out of 3 for me. You only got 1 out of 3.
Yeah, well, I mean, you had Lewis Hamilton in P2, and he finished where?
7th, I think.
And I had him in P3, so technically I was closer.
Yeah, but if we're talking about the amount of people we had within our top three, I got 2 out of 3.
Yeah, but technically...
I got 2 out of 3.
I was closer, because then I had Leclerc in P2.
Yep.
And he finished P4.
That's not how it works.
So I was closer.
No, not how it works. Right, so let us know what your thoughts are on Bahrain. Let's get into this now, shall we? There's a lot of news to cover here. And I know we're already 26 minutes in. So if you're still here, thank you. I feel like there's more entertainment at the moment off the track than there is actually on the track.
Oh, 100%.
And part of me worries this isn't a good look for the sport. Because, I don't know. Let's get into it. So, last week, Christian Horner was cleared of the allegations that were put against him. That was an internal matter. Absolutely fine. You know, they've done their review. They said it was all fine. They said it was clear. No problem. You move on. However, it kept continuing, didn't it? Going into the race weekend, it was just...
Well, so it got kind of worse for Christian Horner. Obviously... Yeah, we kind of had no idea. There was speculation of what was going on. Christian Horner acting inappropriately towards a female member of staff. No one truly knew whether that was in a sexual nature, an abusive nature, a coercive nature. Sorry. And then, yeah, Red Bull concluded the investigation and they were like, yeah, we're not going to talk about that. So everyone was a bit like, right. Well, you know, you kind of like lit the whole place on fire and then just said, not my problem. So we're kind of all here like, well, you know, what was it? Because if there is something like bad and dodgy going on, then surely we have a right to know. And I appreciate there is like procedures that take place, but why make it so public?
But okay.
If you're then not going to, why would they announce to the world that they're investigating Christian Horner based on this? They've got an independent blah, blah, blah in. And then when it comes to like, oh, the results concluded, we're not going to tell you anything about it.
Yeah, it's just like, but do we, this is what I'm wondering. Firstly, do we need to know? And actually, is this an internal matter? We don't need to know. Secondly, I know a lot of team principals were coming out. We want transparency and all of this stuff. Well, actually, it's a Red Bull internal matter. So why do we need to know?
I get that. But then why announce it to the world that they're doing it?
But I don't think it was necessary. It came out, didn't it? I don't think it was...
No, Red Bull announced it.
Yeah, because it started filtering out.
I don't think as fans, we're not entitled to know anything. But I think it is... Due to all the speculation, and whether that's due to like now the nature of social media or the media and the way they were putting all these stories out, I feel like everything could have been cleared up by a statement that said exactly what was happening, right? They didn't have to go into details. Naturally, everyone listening is probably saying, are you going to address the elephant in the room? Obviously, there were some leaked details, which, yes, we are going to address, of course.
But hang on, can we just say, we don't know if these are 100% true. These could have been...
I'll do all the disclaimers so it will get us out of trouble if Christian Horner's lawyers ever come knocking at the door. But I feel like, if it was what these messages, what these leaks suggest, then I do feel like it could have been cleared up pretty easily.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, I'm sure we'll give our thoughts on these leaks. But, you know, like, I've got my opinions on them. You've probably got yours. There's no right or wrong, I don't think, here on, like, how you feel about this stuff. But I feel like Red Bull could have just put a lot of the negativity that it's sort of hanging over the sport to bed by simply saying this. But
can I ask you one like serious question though?
Yeah.
Do you like Coco Pops?
Yeah, now that was my favourite one.
Yeah.
Now hopefully that makes sense to you. If it doesn't, allow us to explain. Let me take a sip of water. Because there is a hell of a lot of talking to do. No. Obviously, investigation concluded. Christian Horner, in the clear. Hold on a minute.
Done, as you would have thought.
His night took a turn for the worse when someone... it's not clear who, but, I mean, it's got to be kind of obvious. I mean, he must know exactly who has started this leak. But someone sent a Google Drive link to... Every mass media outlet in the world, it went to, I'm pretty sure it went to people at the FIA.
Went to team principals.
Team principals. It went everywhere. Now, I know what you're thinking, if you don't already know. What's the contents of this drive? Well, firstly, disclaimer. CH, as he's referred to. If your lawyers are listening to this, we have absolutely no idea if any of this is factual. All of this, as far as we know, could be absolutely fictional.
AI'd.
And yeah, it could all be fake. However, we're not suggesting either way it's fake or it's real. This is simply what has been, in inverted commas, leaked. And we're going to relay some of the information to you.
Do you know who I feel sorry for the most? His family. I feel like this is like a real, if these messages are true, it's real embarrassing for his kids and all of that stuff.
It's really embarrassing his kids.
Yeah.
basically, these messages were Christian Horner, allegedly, keyword, dropping Riz, horrendous Riz, might I add, on what appears to be his personal assistant.
What did Ed say the other day? So Ed was who was around watching F1 with us the other day, where he was reading the messages, wasn't he? He was like, I don't understand why he starts off with lowercase.
pretty much every message starts off with a lowercase. It's kind of weird. It's kind of inconsistent.
But out of all the messages, that's what he took out of it.
Yeah, after all the... Because if you've read the messages, you'll be like, holy fuck. Like, but now imagine, right? Now imagine... This is your dad, right? Yeah. And all his messages of him rizzing up some employee, and you get to go through them. There is also an alleged picture of his chopper in the... It's not a chopper. It's much smaller than a chopper, but it looks kind of gross. But it could be fake. It could all be completely fake.
You're actually going through the messages?
No, I do just want to read this one because I think this is the most outrageous one. Yeah. Essentially, these messages were... Yeah, we think... The rumours are between like him and a personal assistant.
Yeah.
Someone that he clearly worked very closely with. Female, obviously. And he was essentially... the messages were obviously heavily leaned to a sexual nature.
Mm-hmm.
Of like, you know, he was constantly asking, oh, send us a picture. What are you wearing today?
Yeah.
All I would say is it looked like there was... some sort of history there between the two of them. There was an established relationship of some sort that was beyond the scope of work.
Yeah.
That's the way it came across to me. but this is one of my favorite ones. She says, I was more meaning through during the day or on the plane. And then he says, I see. Can I make a confession? She says, if you want. He says, when we went to Dubai last year on the plane, she says, yep. And he says, and you got me out of control. She replies, you finished off in the bathroom? Question mark. He says, yes. With a little tongue out face. So
I'm cringing you just, and the weird thing is that you're looking at me when after each time saying it. It's just weird, man.
That took a long time for you to confess, he replied, embarrassed. Not even I'm embarrassed, just embarrassed. He says, why? He says, don't know. Wanted you to finish me off, presumably. Oh no, she says, finish you, question mark. He says, yes. So next time you're on an Emirates flight to Dubai, please bear in mind that Christian Horner might have spunked himself in the sink that you're brushing your teeth in. Because clearly, this man has wanked on a plane.
Allegedly.
This text would suggest that he has wanked on a plane. If this is him,
yeah.
If this is Christian Horner sending these messages, he has wanked on a plane. But this is the nature of the messages.
I'd rather go back talking about a boring Bahrain race.
But, yeah, obviously, someone is very pissed off at the outcome of this. The only thing about the messages that I find a touch strange, on the flip side of things, you know, like, Christian Horner is this person's boss.
Yeah.
And I'm unsure, in my personal opinion, and that, like, I don't want this to, like, be the views of anyone else, and I'm not an arbiter, I have no idea. Reading through everything, there's nothing to me that suggests there's, like, a power imbalance here, or he's being manipulative in the sense where he's like, well, if you don't do this, you'll lose your job. It's crossing 100 boundaries, right?
Mm.
And it's unprofessional. He has a family, a wife. But I think there are times in the messages where she's like, no, I'm not doing that. And he's like, okay. That doesn't take away from the fact it's weird. Do you know what I mean? He's like a 50-year-old man messaging this woman, asking for, like, pictures of her. And the messages are creepy.
Mm.
But I think that is that. And they're horrendously unprofessional. And it's down to Red Bull. If they want to remove him for that, I would completely understand it. I think based on what we've seen, there is some sort of existing relationship between the two. Things have happened between them. Like,
yeah,
you can read the messages, and
those messages are true, there's something's happened.
Yeah. They've participated in physical activities with each other.
They go rock climbing.
Yeah. So, but the thing that does kind of get me about the messages is they're screenshotted as the messages are sent.
Mm.
So it, on that side, it kind of looks like a setup. Now, I say a setup, Christian Horner has dug his own grave here, right?
But he sent a screenshot of that. He deleted all his messages.
Yeah.
Because he asked for them to be deleted.
I don't want this to come across like I'm defending this behaviour, right? Because Christian Horner got himself in this mess. He's going to have to get himself out of this mess. He's going to have to deal with the repercussions. But it does kind of seem like, okay, well, were you screenshotting this to just gather evidence to bring the case forward?
Mm.
Or were you screenshotting it to just capture everything along to then be like, oh, because there was obviously the rumours of a payoff. A 650 grand payoff. That was obviously turned down. Was it because it wasn't enough? We don't know.
I bet the Spice Girls are livid.
Well, if you want to be their lover, go get with their friends. So,
when two became one, because Jerry could go, one of them could go, couldn't you?
I'm not actually familiar with many Spice Girls songs.
Aren't you? You knew that one, didn't you?
Yeah, I knew that one. But yeah, but look, this is hopefully it's gone through a rigorous process where, you know, Red Bull did use an external litigator or whatever investigator. If there was a victim here, you would like sincerely hope that they uncovered that. Yeah. So hopefully, like, they have correctly followed all the procedures. And like I say, horrendous Riz, horrendously unprofessional.
Yeah.
Crossing so many boundaries, work, personal. Yeah, you know, I could completely understand it if they sacked him.
Mm.
I think based on the messages that I've seen, I could also understand if he didn't lose his job, but it is, it's just embarrassing, isn't it?
The difficulty is now what's transpired from it is the news that is coming out this week. Again, these are just reports. It's very, we're just going by what is actually out there. Is, you know, he was on the pit wall again this weekend, business as usual. However, after the race, there seems to be, and I've seen the video of quite a heated discussion between him and Jos Verstappen.
Oh, I actually haven't seen that.
Haven't you? Yeah, it's either one of those where there's a lot of hand gestures, but that it's one of those videos where you could look and go, oh, it could mean that actually he's showing over there and this is what we're trying to do, and or it is actually quite heated, so you can look at it both ways.
Yeah.
And what was interesting from it is actually Jos Verstappen came out and he said, you know, it's bad for business, it's bad that he's still around.
I would just like to say, ironically,
which
didn't Jos Verstappen like physically assault a woman?
From what I've heard in the past, I don't know whether that is actually true. I don't really know. I try not to know too much about Jos Verstappen, to be honest. He's not someone who I'm a massive fan of anyway, so but he came out and he was basically saying that by Christian Horner staying, there is tension here while he remains in his position. He says the team is in danger of being torn apart. It can't go on the way it is. It will explode. He is playing the victim when he's the one causing the problems. Obviously, after that, then there's people like Honda who've come out and said, who have said, you know, we're reviewing this situation, we're seeing what is actually happening. And then it just transpires that actually apparently Max Verstappen may end up leaving Red Bull and going to Mercedes.
Yeah, by the way, which I think is bullshit, that is not
happening. Yeah, I can't see that happening. But there seems a lot of tension within this team at the moment. But Christian Horner is adamant and defiant that actually it's business as usual. And whether that's a PR stunt or not, and behind the scenes, because he said they're more united than ever. Well, I don't quite believe that, because whenever you have something like this or a scandal like this, you surely can't be as united as ever.
Well, and the fact that, I mean, look, Jos Verstappen is not going to be a stranger to what is going on.
I don't even think he should be in the garage anyway.
No, I completely agree. Well,
saying that, you see respectful dads, okay? So you've seen Jenson Buttons over the years when he was there. Yeah. You know, he was great. I really enjoyed seeing the interaction between... You've seen Lewis Hamilton dads, but that got a bit heated, so then he wasn't there for a while.
Yeah, well, when his dad started getting too involved, Lewis removed him.
Yeah. So he made that decision. But you've got Lando Norris's dad. You've seen him a few races this year as well. So it's great.
Huh? Seen him at a few races this year, have you?
Last year, yeah. well, he was at Bahrain, actually. And that's great, because you see the families that participate in, and that's really nice. However, Jos Verstappen, I think he thinks he also runs a show. And because he's an ex-F1 driver, who, may I just say, didn't really, you know...
He didn't set the world alight,
no,
did he?
To then actually be so focal about things, I can understand if it was Max Verstappen coming out, but not Jos Verstappen.
Yeah, no, I was going to say, if I was Max Verstappen and my dad spoke about my team like that,
yeah,
I would not be happy at all.
Apparently he's not at the race this weekend.
Yeah, which I completely understand. I mean, if I was... in charge of Red Bull, if I was Christian Horner, I'd be like, yeah, you're banned from the paddock, big boy. If you even step foot within 100-meter radius of this place, I'm going to get you taken out. And, like, I completely understand that. Now, Christian Horner is the guilty party. But at the end of the day, from the business side of things, he's got a job to do.
Yeah.
And he's got to keep that team on track because they are absolutely smashing it at the moment. Now, whether Christian Horner leaves or stays, that's neither here nor there to me. But all the while he's there, he has to try and steady their ship. And if he's going to continue on there, he really has to steady it. Having idiots like Jos Verstappen around that go and run their mouth, same as Helmut Marko, it's not going to help. And you know, we talk shit about Max Verstappen all the time. He actually doesn't run his mouth. You know, he's very...
He's been actually very kind of tame. He's very professional
when talking about the team and stuff. And he wouldn't get dragged into this sort of stuff. And it's where, like, you look at it and you think, okay, even Max knows his position, right? He's not bigger than the team.
Yeah.
And when you've got all this noise from different people, yeah, it's not going to help the situation. How could Jos Verstappen do that interview? Was it with the BBC?
Yeah.
And be like, this is going to help. This is going to help my son's work environment.
Yeah. No, it's embarrassing.
It's just him being a cock.
And I do feel sorry for Max Verstappen because actually you're in this position where you're the reigning champion. You're trying to do your job. You're trying to be professional. You're also trying to be respectful to your boss who is going through a very shit time at the moment. You're also trying to stand up for all the colleagues there and actually be professional. And then you've got your dad coming along.
You're someone that's caught in the middle because Christian Horner has done a lot for Max Verstappen.
Oh, 100%, yeah.
What Christian Horner has done is not breaking any laws. It's not like violating anything. It's highly unprofessional, really embarrassing. And yeah, but you know, it certainly wouldn't be his proudest thing that he's ever done. Yeah. I'm sure of that. And those around him would say the same, like, you know, that's, you know, like if one of your mates cheats on their girlfriend or something, you're never like, oh, you're a fucking legend, mate. Like, good guy. Who is that, mate?
What have you done?
Yeah, you know, like back in like college and stuff when that would happen like regularly, it was never something where you were like, oh, mate, you are so cool. You'd always be like, mate, come on. Like, you're better than that. So, and you know, that's probably the same for Max. And especially if it is to do with an employee, it's really awkward. And then it's like, oh, you know, well, he has crossed like 100 different lines that he shouldn't have crossed. And, you know, Max is an out and out professional. You know, he's someone that takes his craft seriously. So this will be distracting, but he's got a personal affiliation with Christian Horner. So it's difficult. And he's managed to remain silent throughout. So why can Jos Verstappen not?
Yeah. What gives him the right to come out and do that anyway?
And then Helmut Marko went on to say, obviously all these rumours came out then that Max Verstappen is going to move to Mercedes in 2025. Helmut Marko was asked about it and he said, I won't stand in his way.
Yeah. Because interestingly, there was also footage this weekend of Jos Verstappen chatting to Toto Wolff, and I don't think that's
probably so normal. I bet that happens every week,
but nobody picks that up.
Yeah.
So obviously they've picked this up, that they've now spoken and they said apparently, you know, there is real links that Verstappen would go to Mercedes in 2025. And personally, I think it's rubbish. I can't see him going there. Why would you leave a team like Red Bull at the moment when, and I've also seen reports that actually Max Verstappen has said, look, I've achieved everything I wanted to, so it's about finding new challenges and all of this stuff. I don't think when he says that, I don't think that's meaning him to go to a new team. I think that's him finding new ways of how he can actually better himself.
Max, if he stays at Red Bull, will be a 5-time world champion at least.
Oh, 100%.
Because he's going to win it this year.
Yeah.
They'll win it next year. And then we've got new regulations.
Yeah.
So if Max Verstappen is going to leave Red Bull at any time, it will be 2026. I still don't think he'll leave then. He's contracted until the end of the 28 season.
28, yeah.
But he's not going next season. Let's be fucking real here. What the hell? Okay, I'll say this. If Max Verstappen leaves this team over this incident, then something much worse has happened, a lot worse than what we're seeing on these texts. Because, you know, I've said it 100 times. Yeah, these texts are really weird. But they're nothing that would make you be like, I cannot be associated with this team at all. If he's getting out of this team, which is, by the way, the best team in the world, they are by far the strongest constructor in the whole of F1, with absolutely no competition in sight.
Yeah.
And he leaves them to go to, it doesn't matter who he goes to, you know, you might as well, you could go to Haas, Williams. It's the same as going to Ferrari and Mercedes. You're still not going to be competing for the championship. Yeah. Something worse has gone on than what we're being showed through these leaks. Are these leaks? I just had a thought. This is a conspiracy theory, right?
Yep.
Are you ready for this?
I'm ready.
Okay, so we're agreed that the text messages are really weird. But they're not, like, incriminating as such. There's nothing that is, like, completely damaging to the Christian Horner brand and Red Bull, other than the fact they're very weird. He's got a family. It's really unprofessional. And he's crossing way too many boundaries.
Yeah.
Right? What if Christian Horner himself is behind the leaks? Because he's put them out there as little fakies. So imagine none of this is real, right? It's all generated by Christian Horner. He's put them out because he knows, okay, these are weird. People are going to think I'm weird. I'm unfaithful, disloyal. I'm really bad at talking to girls. And a bit of a pest, right? Well, that's not the end of the world, okay, for him. It's damaging to his brand. It's not like committing sexual assault or something, right? Which, again, I'm not suggesting he's done. But could it be that these leaks are actually to make us think, oh, well, right, he's really weird. That's what we're getting from this. Not that he's like a violent criminal.
Wow, you are really going down a different route.
But do you see what I'm saying? Do you see my point?
Yeah, I
imagine if he's behind. Imagine.
I can't see him. I can't see him doing those leaks. In all honesty.
No, I mean it's a conspiracy theory.
Yeah. No, I get your conspiracy.
I'm not saying that's true. By the way, please, if your lawyers are listening, I haven't got any money, so I can't be liable for any damages here.
It's also
fictional. I'm not even talking about Christian Horner. I'm talking about
Karen Horner.
Yeah. Karen Hornet.
Yeah.
That's what I'm talking about. Karen.
The interesting thing at the moment, there is so many stories coming out. There were stories that actually Christian Horner, after Mateschitz passed away, was it last year?
Tried to buy the team.
Yeah.
But it went behind Red Bull's back.
Yeah. There's so many things that are coming out of the woodworks. And I don't
How would that work, by the way?
I don't know.
Because they're called Red Bull because they're owned by Red Bull. So Red Bull is a trademarked name.
But right? He would buy the actual F1.
But then he bought it behind their back. Surely they're going to be like, well, you can't call it Red Bull.
Yeah.
And he'd be like, oh, come on, guys. They'd be like, no, you went behind our back.
Yeah. And surely they would know when he rocked up and go, look, I've got some briefcases outside for some money. Can I buy
Red Bull? It's just like dangling the keys. Like, guess what I just bought?
I don't know. I just think there's a lot more which is going to come out from this. Just finishing on the Max Verstappen. So I did a TikTok. Obviously, I did ask Luke to do some, but he doesn't bother.
I've been busy.
Yeah, what do you think I have? One person said, we must not forget that without Max, the field is not so boring anymore. So if Max leaves for Mercedes, then that dominant factor is gone.
I think if Max goes to Mercedes, that's actually a fair point.
Yeah.
It would. I don't think Perez would win every race in that Red Bull.
Somebody also put, what proof do we need that he is not winning because of the car? Perez is very much slower than him.
No, and I want to stress that. Max Verstappen is not purely winning because of the car, in my opinion.
I know, he's also winning because he's Max Verstappen.
Yeah, like, because Sergio, if he wasn't Max Verstappen, Sergio Perez could easily win the races. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
I don't think Perez would win every single race, but my point is if Max Verstappen wasn't as good as Max Verstappen,
yeah,
he wouldn't have won like 19 races last season.
No.
That, it is like the car with the driver.
Yeah.
It's the same as Lewis at Mercedes. It's the same reason Barrichello didn't win championship after championship, but Michael Schumacher did.
Yeah.
It's the same reason Mark Webber didn't win 4 championships in a row, but Sebastian Vettel did. It takes a good driver.
Yeah. No, 100% agree. Do let us know what your thoughts are on Christian Horner and the whole Red Bull saga. Will Max Verstappen go to Mercedes? Who knows? I can't personally see it happening. Other news, the FIA president. I
knew he was a crook. I knew it. And he can try and sue me. I don't care. You're a crook. He's a crook.
So, let me just get this. So, the FIA president allegedly told officials not to certify the Las Vegas circuit for its race last year. The claim is from the same whistleblower who accused the FIA president. I can never say his name. Ben Salim? Did I say that right? I think I did.
Isn't it Suleiman?
Suleiman, yeah, could be that. Of allegedly telling officials to overturn a penalty to Fernando Alonso in Saudi Arabia last year. The whistleblower said that they were told on behalf of the FIA president to find a way not to pass the circuit safe for racing. The claim is in a report by the FIA's compliance officer, so to its ethics committee.
So he didn't want the race at Vegas?
No. The report quotes the whistleblower saying that they were contacted by their manager, who on behalf of the FIA president instructed him to find some concerns to prevent the FIA from certifying the circuit before the weekend of the race. I mean,
Did he want a weekend off or something? What? Why did he do that?
I honestly could not tell you. And all I know is...
Could they not have just said, no, you're not allowed to race there anyway from the start?
Well, yeah. And well, the main one for me is... What we're currently trying to work out is with Fernando Alonso, that he tried to overturn the penalty because I think he was on the podium, wasn't he? He was on the podium last year in Saudi Arabia.
Yeah, he was.
And he did get a penalty, but that got overturned or something, or there wasn't something that happened. The thing is, what they've actually come out this evening and said, and this is from the FIA, FIA confirms the compliance officer has received a report detailing potential allegations involving certain members of its governing bodies. The compliance department is assessing these concerns as it's common practice in these matters to ensure that due process is meticulously followed. So, basically nothing happened.
Look, if you wanted to know the FIA were corrupt, go onto YouTube and type in Abu Dhabi 2021 and you'll see everything you need to know.
Or just type in a hashtag F1 fixed.
Yeah.
That was the one. Oh, is it FIA fixed? F1 fixed?
It's one of... F1 like XED. Yeah. Like fixed.
This is...
That will tell you everything you need to know, right? They single-handedly robbed a championship from Lewis Hamilton that would have been a record-breaking 8th world championship.
I was hoping that was going to be the thing that was coming out.
Well, surely this whistleblower has got more information. Come on, like bring up the good stuff. Yeah, bring down more. No one cares about this Las Vegas bullshit. Tell us what happened during Abu Dhabi.
Well, he's right, though. They shouldn't have certified it. Drains were popping off all over the place.
Yeah, but why wouldn't he just say, no, you're not racing there?
Yeah, I don't know.
He's a bloody president.
Let me ask you this question. Is F1 in trouble? And what I mean by that is you've got the racing side, which is the regulations aren't working. They're working to a certain effect, but they're not working to help with the championship battle. And you're still seeing that dominance in the car. Granted, that is also down to the driver. On the other, off the track, you've got teams in disarray. You've got a cost cap that actually... doesn't really work across the teams, and you've now got the FIA with allegations coming out from them as well. So is it damaging for the sport in the sense of you're losing a lot of viewership because it's a bit of a laughing stock?
I think the only thing that will lose you viewership is the actual racing.
Yeah.
I think all the other drama stuff, other than the FIA stuff, I think is genuinely damaging to the sport. If there is like a president of the FIA that is interfering with race results in particular, that's damaging to the sport. If all the other stuff, the drama, I personally think it adds to it. Yeah. Like, I actually think if we didn't have the drama going on at the moment, we'd be like, this is shit.
I'm happy to have the drama all year long. Because if it's going to be boring on the track, at least we have something to talk about.
But I think, imagine if we had all this drama off the track and drama on the track. Wow. Like, that would be sick.
Yeah.
Imagine if we had a 21 season with all this shit going on. Oh my God, it would be so... Imagine this Christian Horner stuff came out in the 21 season. Oh my God, Toto would have them. it would be incredible, wouldn't it?
Netflix are sitting at home right now, rubbing their hands going, we've hit the jackpot here.
Yeah, I saw someone tweet like basically saying Netflix have 10 episodes and we've only had one race week.
Yeah. They're going to bring out 40 episodes.
It's going to be a big one. But yeah, no, I say roll on the drama. I don't care. Like, to me, the race director, like the FIA president stuff is damaging to the sport and that has to be rectified. The drama stuff, keep it rolling. Alpine absolutely capitulating. People leaving the team left, right and centre, getting sacked. Bring it on. Drama. We love it.
Yeah.
That's why we like racing, because it's full of drama.
Me personally, I don't mind it. I think, going back to what I was saying, is I think what's more damaging for the sport is what's on the track, in the sense of you've still got that dominant car. Off track, you can kind of just go, okay, fine, this is drama. Things need to change, you know, make changes. People always watch it. But I think the biggest thing that needs to change is... And it's going to sound weird, because obviously when we were Mercedes fans, we had a dominant car for so long. But
let's not forget that the FIA genuinely brought in like new regulations every season to try and nerf that Mercedes. Yeah.
And also,
that happened once.
Also, because some comments go, oh, look, Mercedes fans, you had years of winning. Can I also just state the fact we had different winners in our seasons?
Can I also just state the fact 2014, Nico Lewis. 2015, Nico Lewis. 2016, Nico Lewis. 2017, Seb Lewis. 2018, Seb Lewis. It was only 2019 and 2020 that we genuinely had pure Merc dominance.
21, Max Lewis.
Exactly.
So now you've got, if anything, the pendulum swung and we actually got more of a dominant car than we've ever had before.
Yeah, and actually I should just rephrase my last sentence. Okay, we had Merc dominance in 14, 15 and 16, but we did have a battle for P1 in the championship, particularly 2016.
Yep.
So that's all we're asking, honestly. Like,
for a Drive to Survive fan, you know your stuff.
I know, pretty impressive. How many times have we even said, Jesus, even if Perez could fucking give Max a title battle, we'll take it.
Yeah.
And I
don't care.
And some other teams to win some races. Come on, it's nice to see different people lift a trophy.
Yeah, just someone would be quite nice.
We've probably got to talk about Saudi, and then we've got to wrap up.
Yeah.
There's so much news, like, honestly.
Let me just quickly touch on the Alpine, okay. Just quickly.
But just... Quick. To catch up on all news, just follow us on Instagram, because it is constantly being posted. We'll keep you up to date with everything. We do interact with fans, like other F1 fans, haters, is what I mean by that. I don't mean like fans of us, I mean like F1 fans. So it is all good. If we don't cover stuff here, like, we do cover it on Instagram.
Yeah, we do daily posts on there. Technical director Matt Harmon and head of aerodynamics Dirk De Beer have both resigned from their positions after Ocon finished P17 and Gasly P18 in the F1 season opener.
Rightfully so.
In response, Alpine have created three specialised technical roles to replace the previous structure of a single technical director. This car is heavy, it is slow, they're in trouble.
Yeah, I think the description was it's overweight and aerodynamically inefficient. I think that was the official description. And yeah, it looked it over the weekend. It looked shit. It did, you know. And Alpine are a team that finished the 2022 season in P4.
Yeah.
So, yeah, all they've done is go backwards.
Yep.
They, at least they had a nice-looking car in 2022 as well. It was all blue.
Yeah.
So,
well, even at the beginning, they had the first couple of races in the pink. It looked nice.
Yeah. Now they've just got this horrible... And obviously, they've taken all the carbon... They've stripped all the paint off it and left it carbon fibre because it's overweight.
Yeah. Right, Saudi Arabia. I'm buzzing for this, to be fair. I am quite... I like this track.
I like this track. I just want to say, touching on Saudi Arabia... Did you see the new track?
It looks epic.
How good does that track look? Now, we give new tracks a pretty hard time here.
21 corners, elevation.
This, guys, we're going to post it on Instagram. So if you haven't seen it, I'll make sure a picture of the new track is posted. It is insane.
Yeah.
Like, it looks like a proper track, in my opinion. Is there any news of like when it's meant to come?
No, it could be that we don't know yet.
Okay,
could still be a few years.
I can break the news. Saudi Arabia unveils new Qiddiya track. That's obviously where it is. Obviously, we're in Jeddah at the moment. It is thought that Jeddah will continue to host the Saudi Arabian Grand Prix until 2027, but Qiddiya Racing Circuit, which features a 20-story high opening corner, is due to host the country's Grand Prix in the future. Oh, this track looks so good. The intention is for the Qiddiya Speed Park track, even it's got speed in the name, to combine the virtues of permanent circuits and street venues, so it includes multiple configurations and both high-speed and slow-speed sections over the lap. Visitors and spectators will be treated to, this in quotes, to one of the most unique race experiences in the world, with a pioneering track that will be ready to host some of the world's biggest motorsport events. And my God, this does look like a track and a half. I am not going to lie. It does, looking at it, have a bit of everything.
From what I've seen, it looks epic.
Yeah, I mean, you can see.
Yeah,
that looks like a banging track. Yeah. So I'm sorry.
21 corners, isn't it? Something like that. It's
yeah. Well, it looks like they have like different versions of the track. Obviously, there are different parts you can go around.
Yeah.
So it depends what is going to be the F1 track, but I am here for this track. This looks sick.
Yeah, I'm all for that. Right, Saudi Arabian Grand Prix this weekend. Time-wise, so as we know, it's Thursday, Friday and Saturday this week. Another Saturday race.
Happy yeah, that. A 5 p.m.er.
I did find it a bit weird this weekend because I did get to Sunday. I'm like...
Now what?
Yeah, yeah. Right, so Thursday, FP1 is 1:30 till 2:30. FP2 is 5 till 6. On Friday, FP3 is 1:30 until 2:30. Qualifying is 5 till 6. And the race on Saturday is 5 o'clock. Quiz?
Yeah.
You like this?
I feel like I'm going to be bad at this.
Right, first Grand Prix held.
Oh, 2021.
Well done. Number of laps.
Yeah, this is where I get a bit stuck. It's a really quick track in terms of speed, but it's actually quite a long track.
Yep.
So I'm going to say 56 laps.
50 laps.
Okay.
Lap record and held by who?
Oof. Lewis Hamilton.
Yep.
And he did a
137.
Yep. Or a 130.7. Oh shit, that's quicker than I thought.
Yeah, sorry. Yeah. DRS zones.
One down the main straight. Yeah. There's three.
Yep, there is. Can I just say, massive shout out, a real winner this weekend in Bahrain, Pedro De La Rosa, still keeps his fastest lap.
Yep, another year.
So well done to you. Very happy for you. Right, so top three for this weekend Saudi Arabian Grand Prix.
Max Verstappen, Sergio Perez.
I'll give you that one. Yep.
Lewis Hamilton.
Oh, okay.
I stand by the fact that that Merc, like the Bahrain, that Grand Prix was not representative. I think the Mercedes will be strong, basically. One thing, the only thing that does worry me about the Merc is the DRS is a bit inefficient.
Yeah.
They were only gaining 12 kilometers an hour or miles per hour, whatever it was. I'm going to refer to it as miles per hour for this bit of my thing, kilometers. They were only gaining 12 miles per hour with DRS open, and compared to Red Bull and Ferrari gaining like 26 miles per hour. That could have been the wing configuration that they had. Obviously, Saudi's a difficult track because you do require the downforce for all the fast corners, but then it's also, you know, you've got quite a few big straights in it. But yeah, that's, I think Ferrari will be good. To me, I thought the Mercedes were generally ahead of the McLarens this weekend.
Yeah.
You know, if, let's say what Mercedes were saying is true and they were losing 0.5 a lap, or 0.4, whatever it was, Lewis would have got Piastri. He would, well, he did get Piastri, but like, not in that way. He would have overtaken him naturally. And then Lando. So, yeah, I think the McLarens still look strong, don't get me wrong. I think the Aston Martins are a little bit off it. I think they're kind of in no man's land. And, yeah, that's my prediction. Max, Perez, Lewis.
I'm going to go for Max, Charles, Perez.
Oh, nice.
I'm expecting Leclerc to come back this weekend. I was tempted to put Sainz again into top three, but I think Leclerc would.
Yeah, Leclerc, you know, he gave Max a good race here in 22.
Even, you know, what showed this weekend, even with that Ferrari issues, he still managed to come back in P4. Yeah. You know, he was locking up a lot. He was going off a lot. He still managed to keep that car.
And
he
then
still
he
had
managed
good pace.
To deal with the issue, didn't he? And then he stopped locking up. And
so I think that Ferrari will be quite strong this weekend.
I expect the Ferrari to be strong. I expect Ferrari and Mercedes to be strong.
Mm. I still think I personally think Ferrari will be stronger than the Mercedes this weekend.
Interesting. See, I think the Mercedes will just be a bit stronger.
Yeah. But I just think that, because I was tempted to put Perez second, but obviously you put Perez, so I was like, I'll just switch it around, seek Leclerc. Keep it interesting. So, yeah, do let us know what your predictions are. But that, I think, is the end of the podcast. We probably missed a lot. There's been, so much has happened in the last week.
Obviously, the bulk of the talk is going to be the Red Bull situation.
Yeah.
Like I say, if you do want to catch up on all other news, just follow us on Instagram, social media, TikTok, and Twitter. because we do post everything there. We post a lot more there than just a single podcast.
Thank you very much for listening. The Saudi Arabian Grand Prix this weekend, race 2. I'm hoping for a good one. Have a good week, and we should see you next week for a brand new episode. Bye bye.